Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, this morning we're going to hear a little bit about the work of the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust. Being seriously ill and in hospital can be frightening and traumatic for a child of any age. And the ACT raises thousands of pounds to help make things just that little bit better. And we often talk about the ACT's fundraising activities, but I wanted to find out exactly how their funds translated into practical help. Let's start with consultant paediatric oncologist Amos Burke.
So the department treats children with any kind of cancer, as well as children who have blood disorders. And then the palliative care part is obviously symptom control and end-of-life care for children who may need that.
And presumably this is zero up to how old?
16 is the age that we accept new referrals generally. There's a little bit of leeway around that for patients who've been in the service already. They may stay a little bit longer, but for new referrals, it's usually 16.
It must be very difficult for everyone, really, for the children adjusting, the siblings of those children, of course, the parents. It goes without saying. What do you have here which is beyond the medical care, which makes things just a little bit easier?
Well, we're fortunate that we have a number of charitable partners who over the years have worked with us to try and improve the experience of families coming through the unit. We're very fortunate at the moment to have received funds that we've used to refurbish our day unit. This is where children and families will come who are receiving outpatient appointments or day case treatments or short procedures that we can do down in this unit. And that's been completely refurbished with charitable funds through our charitable organisation act at the hospital.
And these are things, it's interesting, you know, there's talk about NHS funding and all those arguments, don't particularly want to get into at this time. But the background of that is actually hospitals do need things which are beyond what's required for surgery, for care. It's just for general well-being, really, to make people, I don't say feel better, that seems the wrong phrase at this time.
I think that we should be very thankful for the immense infrastructure that we have for treating children with cancer in the UK. We're a very fortunate position to be able to have services available to every child, no matter where they live in the UK. And that puts us, in global terms, very high up in the ability to offer care to children with cancer. And I don't think we should forget that. Globally, there are tens of thousands of children who have cancer who don't even have basic health care. So that's the first thing. But then on top of that, there's always going to be room in any healthcare system for services and experiences to be enhanced. And that will work best when there's a partnership between the families and the children who use it and those who provide the care and then others who have an interest in giving to try and enhance the experience. And there's really not a limit to that. The limit is really the imagination of the people who either want to give or those who want to fundraise or the appreciation of those who have been service users and then the vision of those who are trying to provide the service. And if you put all of that together in a country like ours, where we're fortunate to have a good economy, and there's, you know, even though there is very little public money, there is, you know, we are a fortunate country, we have the opportunity to do things that really do make a difference.
I wonder if in a roundabout way, being treated in rooms, which are brightly coloured, which do have the most fabulous rocking horse I saw out there, has a computer console. There's this screen up the corner here, which looks like sort of an iPad on the wall with glowy things all around it. It has to do something to make them, I don't know, 70% when they might have been 65 otherwise.
It's all about changing the experience for children. When they come here, they're experience of life will change dramatically. The families will suffer life-changing events. Those things have to happen alongside treatment that's going to take place. What we're doing is changing things in the environment that will make the inevitable changes that they have to go through less painful, less difficult. So if we can distract a child rather than having to medicate a child, then that's an improvement. If we can make the experience of coming to clinic fun, then when it has to happen multiple times, it's not something the child will learn to dread. If we can distract siblings, then it can allow parents to concentrate on the important things that are being discussed. So it's all about the experience of the children.
And in terms of what you might, next time you have a conversation with the ACT, with ACT, what would you be saying? Ah, it'd be nice to have one of these. What might that be?
Well, our ACT funders are really, really pivotal to what they do, and they're really engaged. And our list is long. It's a very long list of things that we have. At the moment, we've got some thoughts around a nursery nurse who will help to improve the experience of the children coming through the unit, but that's just one part.
So it's interesting, we're here towards the end of the day, actually remarkably quiet. I bet it's nothing like that when it's full of children. And we're seeing all the brightly coloured. So it can extend to people as well as things.
People are probably the most important investment that any charitable organisation might want to fund, because people change lives and change experiences.
But parents might argue the computer console is expensive, but boy, are people expensive as well.
Yeah, people are expensive, but they're an investment that pays off many more times than any piece of equipment. They become obsolete in just a very short space of time, but a person can go on interacting and changing the experience of children for a very, very long time. And if that post is established, then actually for decades it might be yielding benefit.
I must say, the area in which Amos Burke works at Adam Brooks has just been sort of, I don't know, brightened, if you like, by the work of the ACT. Mm. It's still a hospital, but there are things around the room for children of all ages to do where they are, either if they're staying there for a few days or just visiting for their brothers, mm-hmm. and sisters. But as Amos said there, actually, you know, it's nice to have all these little things around, the computer games the rocking horse.
Yeah.
But actually paying for a person to just hang around with the kids,
yeah.
You know, that's who can also do some, you know, care work when required, that is possibly the most valuable thing. We'll hear more about the ACT after the headlines at 8:30.
Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
More now on the work of the Adam Brooks Charitable Trust and what they bring directly into the hospital. Julian's been speaking to Rajiv Chowdhury, who's a consultant at the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit.
We are a tertiary level neonatal intensive care, and we are one of the three centres within the region, and we roughly have 1,000 admissions in a year, and 40 to 50% of that are premature babies, and the remaining half is the term babies. And what we'll really look after is the newborn babies who are not well and need a medical care, and that's what we provide here. As you know, that when the baby is inside mom's body, then mother is taking care of lots of functions of the baby's body. But when the baby is born, lots of changes happen in baby's body, and the baby has to then to make an adjustment to the life outside mommy's body, and then sometimes this doesn't go right, and that transition needs a lot of support. This could be if you're born early, if you have some birth defects, or the delivery has been very difficult, or there is some infection issues, and then they will need varying graded of intensive care, and we provide that care, and that's the main part of our job.
What are the danger points for a premature baby? In other words, presumably if a baby is born a couple of days before it's expected, most times everything's going to be fine. But obviously the further back you go, the more potential problems that there are.
Absolutely. And I think 2 days premature, I think generally it should be very well. I think what we are really dealing here is that babies born as small as 23 weeks gestation. And the smallest babies we look after might be anything between around 500 grams. And that's really, really small. And they are very vulnerable at that position. They're very premature and their body organs are not strong enough or very fragile to make to survive outside that. And we provide that intensive treatment care here.
And I'm sensing this could be a major logistical exercise as well, because a mother might be commencing to give birth a couple of months ahead of what was expected, and you've got to get her from wherever she might be in East Anglia to this hospital with the possibility that the baby might decide to come on that journey.
Most of the times, if mum goes into labour, they will not transfer her. And I think that's where our neonatal transport service comes in. Say, for example, you are in Great Yarmouth and mother goes into labour prematurely, then the baby will be delivered there in their hospital and its care started, and then the transport team will dispatch from here to bring the mum from baby from Great Yarmouth to here. Now it is a very logistically big event, and I think we work with the very highly specialized and highly trained professionals, and I think the teams are very much geared up for that. There are protocols, there are a pathways which we follow, and but that's what the transport team does day in, day out.
Tell me a little bit about your work with the ACT. Starting off with what we have here today, which you can thank them for.
I think we have worked very closely with Edinburgh's Charitable Trust, and I think they have been extremely helpful to us. I think two streams which we have been working with them have been the family experience, innovation training, and also the neurocritical care, and also the Evelyn Perinatal Centre, which is at the bottom of Rosie Hospital. And I think so this is a long-standing relationship, and every year they come and ask us what are the areas which we want to work on. If you're looking at their refurbishing room 3, one of the rooms here for us, which will be used for the families where the babies are unable to make it, so that in those last precious moments they have a right environment to spend a time with the baby who's not going to live, and in privacy. So ACT is helping us to refurbish that room. But I think in addition to thanking ACT, I would like to thank to the families, to thank to the general population who comes and contributes that money. And I think we cannot thank them enough, because this means a lot to the families who are going to use these facilities.
Yes. And these are often families who have been through the experience, seen and experienced care, which has been helped along by the ACT, and as a result of that, they wanted to give back.
I think I agree with that, and I think the major significant number of our donors are the families who have gone from here, who have been looked after in this beautiful facility, or they have been transferred by our neonatal transport team. They go back and they raise money for us. And I think, for example, there was a family who lived whose children we looked after here. They raised the money for our video laryngoscope and to help in the training of the doctors. So I think it's generally the families who have used these facilities, and they understand that how important these are.
And going forward, when you have your next conversation with ACT, what are you going to be talking about?
I think we have endless shopping list. I think one of two things which we will be working on very closely is, one is our new ant trolley, and I think this is a big project for us, which I think we have been working for last year or so now, and this is to raise additional trolley for neonatal transport service, so that there is always a trolley available to dispatch.
And when you say a trolley, this is more than a table with a couple of wheels on it. This is going to do some really vital work along the way.
It is. I think when I talk about neonatal transport trolley, I think it is mobile neonatal intensive care unit. With that trolley, we will be able to provide the intensive care which we are providing here. So what you see, all the equipment here in the unit is almost there, and we can deliver that intensive care not only in the smaller hospitals, Pulse, but also across the route, that thing. So I think it is really, really important part of equipment, and very, very sophisticated. Very, very sophisticated equipment.
How much, if you're going to buy one, how much does it cost?
I think it will be anything between 150 to 200,000 pounds. And I think that's our biggest project at the moment, which we are doing for. And the second project, I think, which we want to raise the money for is the video link system, where the families from their home, when they are not in the unit, can see their babies who are admitted in the neonatal unit. And that's another 30,000, 40,000 pounds, right, which we are trying to raise.
So you need something. I'm just thinking about this because a lot of people will be familiar with Skype and different other messaging systems which do provide video. You're wanting to presumably improve the clarity, are you, of the experience at either end of what can be seen?
I think, yes, all these video messagings are available, but I think this is a hospital environment, and I think we have to respect lots of confidentiality of other stuff. And then there has to be a governance element, that if we are transmitting these images, then they have to be secure end to end. So if it's your baby, you can see only your baby. So we have to secure and all those stuff. It is being used in some of the neonatal units which we have been in touch with, and we are hoping that we will be able to achieve that.
Good. I do hope so. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And that's Rajiv Chowdhury, who's a consultant at the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit at the Rosie, part of, comes under the watch, if you like, of the Adam Brooks Charitable Trust. And you've come across Mr. Chowdhury before.
I think I recognise that name. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Rajiv Chowdhury, he was one of my Gates scholars when I used to work at Gates Cambridge. Fair. So that's two now that we've come across. Doing this show.
It's a small old world, isn't it? Well, as I said previously, Cambridge is actually a village. It just self-identifies as a city. If you want to find out more about the work of the Adam Brooks Charitable Trust, do take a look at their website. Just Google them, really. They'll come up top. But the address is addenbrooks.org.uk. You can read about their work, some of the things you heard about in our two interviews this morning. There'll be a podcast of those later, of course. And you might want to think, well, either donate yourself directly or support one of their appeals. It's 8:43.
Cambridge 105 Radio.